Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to Zion. Thanks for coming out this evening to stream with us online. We miss all of you guys, of course, very much, but glad that we were able to join up with us here. Let's begin tonight with our opening hymn. Begin this evening in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
This is the day which the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful,
slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and repents of evil.
Jesus said, if anyone would come after me,
let them deny themselves
and take up their cross and follow me. Christ was wounded for our transgressions.
He was bruised for our iniquities.
We continue with our canticle.
Never may your work be great.
We continue this evening with our readings. Our first reading is our Old Testament reading and the focus of our midweek services this year, which is Isaiah 53, beginning at chapter 52:13 and going through 53:12. Isaiah writes, "Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind, so that he sprinkled many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him, for that which has not been told to them they see, and that which they have not heard they understand. Who has believed what they have heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him. He had no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hid their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. And they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him, and he has put him to grief, which when his soul makes an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death, and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sins of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading for this evening comes from Matthew chapters 26 and 27. The Holy Gospel according to those chapters.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then those who had seized Jesus led him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders had gathered. And Peter was following him at a distance as far as the courtyard of the high priest. And going inside, he sat with the guards to see the end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus, that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said, "This man said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.'" And the high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you?" When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. They bound him and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate, the governor. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You have said so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things that they testify against you?" But he gave them no answer, not even to a single charge. So the governor was greatly amazed. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
This evening, our theme is silence. And so we take an extended period of silence now to reflect on God's word. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one.
He was delivered up to death.
He was delivered for the sins of the people. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You ever heard the phrase, open mouth, insert foot? We've all probably done that at one time or another, stuck our foot in our mouth. We've all said things when it would have been better if we just kept quiet. It was this past Christmas Eve, and it was a 7 o'clock service. And I had just gotten done with the 7 o'clock service, and I was walking out the back doors. And as I walked out the back doors, there was a parishioner standing back there who told me that she'd had Chinese food for lunch that day. And it was just as Joy to the World was ending, and this kind of time of, you know, quiet post-Christmas Eve service reflection was settling down over the congregation. And I excitedly replied to her, "Oh, I had Chinese for lunch too." It was really exciting. Not realizing that my microphone was still on. Open mouth, insert foot, right? They're not always funny. Sometimes we accidentally say something rude or hurtful that can't be taken back. You know, like a toothpaste tube. Once it's out, it's not going back in. But whatever the case, I mean, you've had those times also when it would have been better if you just kept quiet. Keeping quiet, though, I think is not one of the virtues that people have today for the most part. We might be the loudest and the noisiest and the brashest group of people that's ever walked the earth. I heard somebody say once that all the energy that comes from TV signals and radio waves, actually, more comes from the earth at those specific wavelengths than comes from the sun, which means if there were aliens listening from another galaxy or something, they wouldn't hear the sun, they'd hear us because of all the noise we make. And with the advent of social media, I mean, the noise has become virtual, right? We can put our feet in our mouth virtually now so that not only can everybody in the world see, but they can screenshot it, and it can, you know, haunt us for the rest of our lives. Really, despite all the noise that comes from other directions, the greatest damage is done by the smallest organ, the one that's in our mouth, our tongue. It's our tongue that gets us into trouble when we don't keep silent. I mean, who could possibly count all the sins that we've committed with our words? The second commandment, for example, not misusing the name of our Lord, of God, right? Not misusing God's name. Who could keep track of all the curses that happen in our streets and in our homes? Who could number the individuals who have been frivolously called by someone else, who God has called to damn other people, not realizing, I mean, that the horror of hell really actually exists and it shouldn't be taken lightly? With the tongue, we curse people. We curse people that God originally created in his own image, people that Christ died for, so that they may not be damned, but they might be saved. Out of the mouth the same one come blessing and curse. Brothers, this should not be. That's what James writes in chapter 3. It's not just the second commandment, though. We sin against the fourth commandment with our tongues also. Words of disrespect for the father and the mother who brought us into this world and nurtured us with love. Words that wounded their hearts and pierced their souls. It's not just them either. The fourth commandment, we've been talking about this lately. The fourth commandment extends to all authority. Our boss, our government, our leaders, everybody that God has placed over us in our lives. And instead of, you know, biting our tongue and keeping quiet when we should, so often we just give it free rein. And sometimes we get away with it, but other times, and you know, occasionally the boss hears a whispered conversation or sees a nasty email, and the words that we say, they come back to bite us. And then there's the hardest one when it comes to our words, and that's the eighth commandment. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. I'll tell you guys, churches are a breeding ground for gossip, unfortunately. I mean, just because something might be true doesn't give us license to, you know, blab it around when it harms our neighbor. And I'll tell you, gossip tears the church apart. It always tears down. It never builds up. Most of us probably have no idea how destructive it actually is. But how tempting is it to retell a story with a new twist, to bend the truth just a little bit, to keep it interesting, right? Instead of keeping quiet, like we know we should. We got to learn to do it. We got to learn to keep quiet. This is true in our relationships with our fellow human beings, and I'll tell you, it's true with our relationship with God as well. We need times of silence, times of quietness before God, too. We have two periods in our service tonight that are a time of just extended silence to reflect. We had one, of course, before the scripture readings, and our other one is going to be in our prayers, for us to be silent in prayer before God when we quietly address God together in our hearts. God likes to hear us pray, but he also likes for us to simply be quiet and listen to his words. We're dealing with Psalm 46 on our Sunday morning services right now. We're just started a sermon series on Psalm 46. And that famous verse, verse 10, says, "Be still and know that I am God." God tells us about our suffering Savior in Isaiah 53. Our Savior whose silence atoned for all our sins of speech. Nobody in the history of the world has had more reason to complain than Jesus Christ. But instead of protesting when he was oppressed, he humbled himself and he didn't open his mouth. That's what Isaiah 53:7 tells us. And our verse repeats that last part to drive it home. Like a lamb, he was brought to the slaughter, and like a ewe that is silent before her shearers, he did not open his mouth. Earlier tonight, we read the fulfillment of this prophecy from Matthew 26 and 27. When they came to arrest Jesus, I mean, he could have called on his father to send down legions of angels to fight off that whole mob, and yet Jesus kept quiet. When the false accusations are brought before him by false witnesses during his trial before Caiaphas and before Pilate, Jesus makes no reply. He gives no answer, and when he's in agony on the cross, Jesus suffers silently, uttering only seven short sentences. He kept the second commandment throughout his life. He didn't misuse God's name by calling on God to damn those, including us, by the way, who deserved it. As Jesus suffered on the cross, he didn't curse those who crucified him. Instead, he prayed quietly, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Jesus silently laid down his life as an offering so that those who had lost the image of God might regain it and be restored to righteousness, to the image of God itself, by his grace and his righteousness. Christ keeps the fourth commandment as well, especially in the crucifixion story, respecting those who are in authority, despite sin upon sin of condemning a just man. Jesus had good reason to address some choice words to Caiaphas, that's for sure, the high priest, as well as to the false witnesses who bring these false accusations of false sins against Jesus. He certainly would have been justified in expressing contempt for Pilate, for the Roman governor, the coward who washes his hands of all responsibility of his own decision, releasing Barabbas, a murderer, even though he knows Jesus is innocent. But Jesus respected Pilate's God-given authority as a government official. Remember what he said? He said, "You would have no authority over me unless it was given to you from on high." That's from John's Gospel, the 19th chapter. And so during his trial with Pilate, Jesus kept silent. He could have said so much in criticism against other people. And this is the 8th commandment. Because, I mean, he knew full well our sins of word and of deed. He's got the goods on everybody else. He associated with tax collectors, with prostitutes, with sinners, but he didn't spread gossip or rumors about any of them. True as they would have been when they're coming from Christ. When people brought the woman caught in adultery before Jesus, what does he say? "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Instead of calling for her execution, Jesus restrained speech and acquitted her. God didn't send Jesus into the world to condemn the world. He sent Jesus in the world to forgive the world. Jesus could have spent his whole life here on earth uttering words of damnation, and instead, he speaks words of salvation and consolation. And when the time came for Jesus to lay down his life as a ransom for our sins, including our sins of speech, Jesus Christ kept quiet. Jesus suffered in silence to make up for all the times when we should have kept quiet, but we didn't. Jesus' mute suffering atoned for all of our cursing and our shouting and our disrespectful words and our gossip and our slander. Jesus' willing silence, it makes amends for all the times that we put our foot in our mouth, for our careless words, our hasty speech, and our rash talk. Here during Lent, we ponder, and we ponder in awed silence what Jesus has done for us. We take it all in without speaking, though we might feel we have good reason to complain about our lives, about our problems, though we might be maligned and mistreated and misquoted. Christ shows us how to not sin with our tongues. His forgiveness grants us grace so that we may be quiet in the presence of our God. Amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding guard our hearts and our minds, keeping them steadfast in Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue our service now with our sermon hymn, number 438, "A Lamb Goes Uncomplaining Forth." begin our time of prayer this evening in a time of extended silence. We pray. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of divine peace and pardon through the death and the resurrection of Jesus, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Holy Christian Church here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, especially in this season of Lenten reflection, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather and the faithfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those in need and the hungry and the homeless, for the widowed and orphaned and all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and the dying and all those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Finally, for these and all of our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
We pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you always. Amen.
Amen.
We conclude with our closing hymn.
Let us each your love possess.
Well, good evening again, everybody. Thanks for coming out to worship with us online. While you are sitting at your computer or your phone or wherever you are, take a picture of yourself streaming the service and send it to us. We're trying to kind of make a collection of how people are streaming and where people are streaming. Thanks very much for coming out, and God's blessings on the rest of your week.